In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
I was reading a book recently entitled Teacher, Teacher, by a man named Jack Sheffield. In 1977, Jack Sheffield was a head teacher at a tiny little Church of England school in North Yorkshire. And he tells the story one morning of leading an assembly before school, before about 85 7 and 8 year old kids, mostly children from the local farms around there. And he tells the story of the gospel that we heard today, of the prodigal son. He says there is a father who has two sons, the older of which stays home, does what he's supposed to, but the younger son goes out, he asks for his inheritance, he goes away, he lives wildly and sinfully, loses everything eventually, all his money is gone, all his friends are gone, a famine takes over the land, he tells the kids, he's hungry, and the only job he can find is feeding the pigs. He's so hungry he wanted to eat what the pigs were eating. Then he remembered his father, he remembered his home, and suddenly things didn't seem so bad back at home as he thought they were. So he says, I'm going to go home and apologize. So he goes back and he rehearses his apology. And on the way back, before he even gets a chance to come home, his father is out looking for him. He greets him. He runs to him. He gives him a big hug, he tells the kids. He buys him some new, clean clothes. He takes him home. He kills the fatted calf. They have a great barbecue, and they have everybody over. All the workers of the farms, all their neighbors, they come over and they're rejoicing and celebrating. Then Mr. Sheffield asked the children, who was it, though, in the midst of all this celebration that was not happy about things were going on? Who was sad that the boy had returned home? And one little boy in the back raised his hand and said, I know who it was. It was the fatty calf. Because things like, stories like the Good Samaritan and the Good Shepherd and the Prodigal Son, because it's so familiar to us, so familiar that even little kids can make jokes about it, I think it would be good for us to look at this parable today from another angle and maybe learn something different from it. Essentially, this parable is a short history of the salvation of mankind. It tells of the fall of man by his own will into sin and the redemption of man that is effected when he comes home, he repents and turns home by Christ, who is symbolized by the slain calf, the banquet, the Eucharistic banquet, and the joy in heaven over the return of even one repentant sinner. By showing that such a great sinner, like the prodigal son, could be set free and return back to his graces with God, Christ is showing us that the mercy of God is beyond all measure. But the reason that Christ told this parable in the gospel today was not necessarily simply to demonstrate the great mercy of God. Our gospel today begins Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. But if we go back to the very first two verses of this chapter 15, we find the reason that Christ told this parable. There drew near to him, says in verse 1, there drew near to him publicans and sinners, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners, and he eats with them. So Christ, knowing what they are murmuring to themselves, goes first on and he tells the story of the Good Shepherd, who leaves his 99 sheep who are safe in the field and goes off and searches diligently for the one who is lost. Then he goes on and tells the story of the prodigal son today. This parable of the prodigal son basically is an indictment of the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees. The last several Sundays, plus today's gospel, all have been indictments of the Pharisees. The gospel of Zacchaeus 2 weeks ago, the gospel of the publican and the Pharisee last week, and today the prodigal son, are all indictments of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Father Alexander told us last week that the Pharisees were the faithful ones. They were the party of the people. They were the ones who kept all the rules. They followed the Mosaic law to a T. They kept every jot and every tittle. They crossed all their T's. And they were the examples who set the bar spiritually high for everyone else. But Christ shows us, however, over these past 3 weeks in today's gospel, that even the right things, when they are done wrongly and in the wrong spirit and for the wrong reasons, can bring us into much temptation and sin and eventually spiritual death. Now we all, in some way or another, I think, can relate to the prodigal son. We have all sinned and fallen away from God at one time or another. And like the prodigal son, we as Orthodox Christians have also experienced the joy that the prodigal son had when he returned home in repentance. Every time we use the sacrament of confession, we experience this joy of being received back into the mystery of God's kingdom. St. Ambrose of Milan said that like the prodigal son, when we are cut off in sin, we are in a foreign country. We are cast off from the sacred altar, perishing for hunger because we lack divine nourishment. But when we repent, so quickly does the Father return unto us. He comes running to meet us, and we regain forgiveness so quickly. He kisses us with a sign of peace. He puts robes on us as of the wedding garment. He puts a ring on our finger as a sign of being wedded to the Holy Spirit, the seal of the Holy Spirit. He slays the fatted calf and nourishes us with his own body and blood in the Holy Eucharist, St. Ambrose says. We all have experienced this joy when we return to God through confession and receive our communion right afterwards. It's a great joy. But most of us, though, have probably not fallen to the same extent that the prodigal son did. Most of us have, rather, I think, we are more akin to the older brother. He didn't insult his father by wishing he was dead and demanding his inheritance. He didn't leave home in order to live riotously with wine, women, and song. He didn't become ritually impure by living and feeding with the swine, which for a Jew is a terrible thing. He didn't do any of these things. He stayed home, and he did his duty, and he followed all the rules. He seemingly was the perfect and faithful son. But we see by his actions today, his actions upon his brother's return home, that he was exactly the opposite of that. Now he is the one who is in a foreign country. He is the one separated from his father. He is the one separated from the banquet without nourishment. He had gone by the book all those years, just like the Pharisees, doing everything right for all the wrong reasons. He was seeking a reward. He sought the reward of his father, not the will of his father. And therefore, as Christ says elsewhere in the Gospels, he was no better than a hired servant. He had not learned perfect love, which his father was demonstrating right before him all along. He was indeed a prodigal. Prodigal does not mean what we usually think it means. The prodigal doesn't mean going off and living wildly. If you look in the dictionary, the word prodigal means spendthrift. That's the first definition, spendthrift. Someone who spends his money recklessly. And the next definition is wasteful. That's what prodigal means. Someone who is wasteful of the things given to him. And the older son today had been with his father all along, yet he was wasteful and did not receive the virtues that his father had. And the virtues he did receive, he squandered because he was selfish, self-centered, he was angry, he was greedy, he was judgmental, and he condemned his brother. All those things were evidenced today by the things, the little bit that we saw in the gospel today where he spoke about his brother's return. Like the Pharisees, he kept the letter of the law without the spirit of the law. And when he saw the great mercy that his father showed to his brother, just like the Pharisees saw the great mercy that Jesus was showing to publicans, prostitutes, and sinners back in the early part of that chapter today, he, like the Pharisees, murmured, "Hey, he receives sinners, and he eats with them, while we, the faithful ones, are busy keeping the laws." He, the older brother, and the Pharisees were both indignant. And St. Cyril of Alexandria said, "The older son and the Pharisees, too, complain because they have an empty narrowness of mind," he said, "not knowing the mind of the Heavenly Father." The older son was indeed a prodigal. He was wasteful of the gifts that his father had given to him because he did not have love. St. Paul tells us that we can have every other gift, but if we do not have love, we are a clanging cymbal. The Father tells him today, at the end of the Gospel, Son, everything I have is yours. It always has been. Every grace that I have is available to you, but you have rejected it because you have not loved. He focused only on the sin of his brother, and thus he missed the virtues that were offered to him by the Father with whom he was with all the time. I think the reason the church puts this gospel before us today, and all these gospels over the last several weeks, is because we are getting ready to enter into the Lenten season. And in the Lenten season, we try to do extra works, that we try to follow extra rules. And these rules, if followed correctly, will lead us into greatly receiving the kingdom of God in magnificent ways. But these aren't rules that are simply made up by men, not even by holy men. All these things that we will be trying to do during Great Lent have been taught unto us by Christ himself. Christ taught us to fast. He taught us to pray. He taught us to read Scripture more. He taught us to give alms to the poor, to worship together in church services, to partake of the Holy Union. Do this in memory of me. When we do all of these things, we unite ourselves to God more fully, and we can become one with Christ, just as he created us to be. But following these rules is not a means unto an end. They are not a means, the end in and of itself. We follow these rules because we want to become closer to God. And sometimes when we follow all these rules, it can become a temptation to us, just like it was a temptation for the Pharisees and the scribes. All these things are not ends in themselves, but they rather are to help us along the journey. Just as the beautiful prayer of St. Ephrem says, the journey for us is to see our own sins and not to judge our brethren. So the Church places these pre-Lenten Gospels before us to ever remind us that despite all our works, despite everything that we will do during Great Lent, we still are all prodigal sons and daughters, and we must have recourse to the Father's mercy. We have been wasteful of God's gifts to us in one way or another, and therefore our prayer must always be the prayer of the publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In all the Gospels that we have seen over the last several weeks, if you've noticed, it's the sinful ones that Christ receives to himself, that he goes and eats with. And eating with people, that's a symbol of the divine banquet. It is the sinful ones that he receives. He receives Zacchaeus. He received the publican last week. And today he receives back the prodigal. They were all the ones who, though being very sinful, came to their senses, as the gospel says. And they saw themselves as they truly were, and they were transformed by repentance. The Pharisees and the older brothers, the older brother today, all viewed themselves as exalted ones. And thus, they were left outside the banquet. Last week we had in the middle of the church the icon of the publican and the Pharisee. Look at it as you're going out today. It's just the opposite there of the candle stand. In that icon, you can split the icon in half. On the left side, the publican was at the Pharisee was at the top, raising his hands up before God in prayer. Not so much in a real prayer. He was telling God how great he was. Down at the bottom of that left side of the icon, you see the publican. His head is down. His eyes aren't looking up. He's saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. On the right side of that icon, we see the results of those prayers. And things are reversed. Everything is just the opposite. You see the Pharisee down on the bottom, looking kind of sad and confused. And we see the publican on top, and suddenly the publican has a halo. Look at that icon when you go out. He doesn't have a halo when he's praying down there in repentance. But after his prayer, he has the halo at the top, and the Pharisee, the one who's doing everything right, is looking sad and confused at the bottom. Both brothers in today's gospel were prodigal in one way or another because they were wasteful. They were wasteful of the gifts given to them. But only one was at the banquet. Only one was at the banquet. The one who returned in repentance. And that's really the theme of today's gospel. Returning home in repentance. 2 weeks ago we saw Zacchaeus in a theme of desire. Last week with the publican and the Pharisee, the theme was repentance. And today, the theme is returning home. Returning home to our fathers. The older son has shown us that even though he was at home the whole time, spiritually and in his heart, he was every bit as far away from the Father as his prodigal brother was. St. John Chrysostom says, "The Father has given us remission of sins, and we devoured it. He gave us strength, and we wasted it. He gave us grace, and we quenched it, using it for nothing fitting. Yet while we were in a foreign country, feeding on the husk in the midst of swine, we still have a loving Father who equally desires our return, who will run to us if only we take the first step to return. Sin makes us swine," he says. "Sin brings famine to the soul. Let us regain ourselves and be sober again," he says, "and return to our high calling as Christians, as baptized Christians, whether we have been far away in sin like the prodigal son, or whether we have been home in the right with the Father all along, but angry and with an impure heart. Our Father is ever awaiting for us to return home. Let us take advantage of the things that we are about to do in the next few weeks when Great Lent comes. Let us take advantage of all these things that God has to offer us and take the first steps toward repentance. And the Father will come running to us and receive us in a great embrace, just as he did the prodigal son today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Glory forever.